And right now it is time to check sports. Time to bring in Mike Cossey. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
All righty then. I have to say I don't know much. Anything exciting happened in the world of sports last night?
Yeah, the Rangers won again and the Islanders lost. So believe it or not, they're real close to each other. The Islanders on the verge of falling out of the playoffs. And the Rangers are on the verge of getting in the playoffs, and the Islanders are on the verge of falling out of the playoffs.
Have the Rangers gone on some sort of winning streak?
Yeah, they've been playing good lately. They've been playing real good lately.
They were an afterthought to me.
So it was pretty much for everybody. They're playing good. Real good.
Is the King in goal or no?
Nah, he's in exile.
Okay.
He's been beheaded.
The king is dead. Long live the new king.
That's it, yeah. That's the reason why they went. Remember what I... Yeah. What have I been saying here for the last 10 years? They'll never win with him. He's not playing now. So I'm looking okay that way.
All right.
They beat up on Montreal yesterday, and they're moving toward the playoffs. They have a legitimate shot to get in there. If you look at their record, they've won 9 out of their last 10, and they've won 5 in a row.
All right. Any of the Yankees get injured yesterday?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll know this morning when the bones start creaking.
All right, the bones. All right.
I was watching some of baseball. The Astros had a split squad game. They played in the afternoon. They played at night. And in the afternoon... See these guys are throwing at the Astros, and let me tell you something. Like we've been saying, and not to beat a dead horse, they're only going to take it for so long, and then they're going to explode.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. If baseball doesn't step in and fix this, it's going to be really, really ugly. And, you know, you have the ignorant people say, well, they cheated. They deserve it. Go stand in front of a car going 80 miles an hour. Let me know if you deserve it.
That's exactly. No, you're right. Heck, I didn't even like it when I was in minor league and in little league, and I got hit with the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, when they put me at all places in the infield to see what I could do, and I would always shy away from the ball.
And, well, they didn't hide you in right field?
Well, the funny thing is the coach finally came to me and said, Marshall, that's why you have a glove. You put the glove up and you catch the ball.
Not soccer. You use your hands.
So literally like 2 batters later, there was a line shot, and I just put the glove up, and really, I'm telling you, Mike, I closed my eyes. Boom, and the ball.
You pulled a Les Nessman?
Yeah. It was so funny. I was so terrible at baseball.
Not everybody can play.
Oh, I was terrible. That's
the problem with parents today. They think everybody can play.
Well,
if you go out and you spend money and you get lessons and you play travel ball, that you can become a baseball player. You are or you aren't.
But you see, I'm the perfect example of that. I was not an athlete, not at all. But I enjoyed playing baseball. I enjoyed playing football. I enjoyed with all the minor league and the different other programs and basketball. I wasn't good, but I enjoyed just the participation of it. Anyways, we'll get away from that. I want to ask you this question. Who was the first team really to publicize this shift that you now see in Major League Baseball?
Maybe Oakland. I don't know.
No, it started in 1994. Oberlin College, the baseball team.
Oh, a college team?
Yep.
I wouldn't know that.
They were 1-14. In last place, and they decided, well, the only way we're going to stop people from scoring is to put on this shift, and they utilized it, and they utilized it all year long.
But see, it the shift is insanity.
Yeah,
because everybody's going to one side of the field. Everybody knows what the shift is, and they want you to hit the ball into the shift. Now, if you're stupid enough to do it, you should be out. But all you have to do is put the ball on the bat the other way, because there's a hole there big enough for 3 trucks to go through. You don't have to hit it solid. You don't have to hit it. All you have to do is hit it that way, and you're on base. And if you continue to do that, they have to take the shift away, and then it opens up for you to do whatever you want. But if you continually hit into the shift, it's kind of like running into a wall and expecting the wall to disappear. It's not going to disappear. It's insanity. If I ran a team fully and anybody put a shift on and you didn't go the other way, I'd take you out of the game immediately.
All right. Well, this was called the fly trap. And all it really did, they tried it for like a couple of games, three or four games. And all it did was reduce errors on the team. You know, they didn't make as many errors in the field. They still kept losing. But it was called the fly trap. So there, a little bit of baseball history for you.
Yeah, I'm a big person against the shift because, to me, it gives the other team an advantage. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I mean, sometimes when you play travel ball or whatever, the other teams are short and they only have two outfielders. And you would think that if you play it against a team with only two outfielders, it would be unfair. Believe it or not, kids can't do it. Yeah. They can't hit the ball. Just hit the ball in the outfield because they can't do it. So the art of hitting is not there. And we were discussing it. We had our first big meeting for baseball yesterday at the high school I coach at. And we're doing something this year to force kids to do that, to be able to hit the ball where you're supposed to hit it, to go the other way. And hopefully that works big for us this year.
Look at Danny Cater, Pete Rose. There's a lot of Major League Baseball players that had
two guys that came the closest to hitting 400, Brett and Rod Carew.
Yep.
They used you can even throw Tony Gwynn in there, make it three guys. They used all parts of the field. That's the reason why they almost hit 400.
Well, how about Danny Cater? He was a run-of-the-mill player, but
Cater stunk. He was a 220 hitter.
Now, who was the guy then? Who was the? There was one guy who was just a regular player, nothing spectacular, but he always hit between 280 and 300, and he used to spray the ball field. So maybe it wasn't Danny Cater, but
it was not Danny Cater. Danny Cater ran like a truck, played third base, and couldn't hit to save his life.
I'm trying to think who it was. I know he wound up on the Yankees for a little bit, but if you could master the art of just positioning the ball, holy smokes.
It's easy. Yeah. It's not that hard.
All right. We have any racing this weekend?
Yeah, we got a lot. I broke it down to three. The fifth race at Gulfstream tomorrow, one of the many stakes on the card, is the Grade 3 Honey Fox. This race is going 1 mile on a turf. Draws a nice big field of 11. I don't know if anyone's going to get scratched. I can't tell that. Couple horses I'm looking at in here. One is the two-horse, Atomic Blonde. This horse last ran in January at Gulfstream in an overnight stake going 7.5 furlongs. One real nicely sitting just off the pace at a little more than 5-1. This horse has five starts on the turf with three wins, a second and a third, never been out of the money. This horse is a must-use in your number. Another horse I'm going to use in here going outside is the 9 horse at 15-1, Sister Hanen. This horse has run three real good races in a row on the turf with 2 seconds and a win. The win coming at Gulfstream, the last break in his maiden two back, and the last race going a mile, running second, closing late, getting beat by just one length, and a big move for this horse. This horse has run 4 times, none of them with Lasix, getting Lasix for the first time tomorrow, so this horse is eligible to improve, and at 15-1, a very handsome price. But my top pick in here is going to be the 8 horse, Miss Munnings. This horse ran off a lengthy layoff last time from June to February, one going away at Gulfstream going a mile. This horse loves Gulfstream. With 10 starts, this horse has 3 wins and has only been off the board one time. And if you look back to the running pattern, this horse came off of a layoff last time from June to January and won at Gulfstream and then came back right after that a month later and won going away at an even better number. So this horse looks like will improve off the last race. 8-1 morning line, I'm going to jump all over Miss Munnings on top. And like I said, I'm going to use the 9, Sister Hanen, and the 2 horse, Atomic Blonde, underneath. From there, the next race that I chose to do was the 9th race, the Grade 3 Here Comes the Bride for 3-year-old fillies on the turf. This horse draws another big field of 12. Horse I like on the outside is the 11 horse, Sunset Promise, trained by Mike Maker. This horse has some really questionable lines in here with a lot of trouble in it. Ran ninth at Keeneland back in the fall and just had a terrible trip wide all around the track. Came back from that early in the Gulfstream meet in November, ran a nice second, got a little bit more than a month off, had another bad trip, bumped at the start and was wide, and but was running on real good late. So at 12-1, I'm going to use this horse in my exacta. But horse I really like, which might be my second best bet of the day behind the one I just gave you, is the 6 horse In a Hurry, trained by Shug McGahey. This horse broke her maiden back in September at Laurel going a mile. Had a lengthy layoff, came back January 31st. Didn't miss a step at Gulfstream Park coming back to win. Horse is working out decently. There's a very good amount of speed in this race. This horse should trip out with Leperu, who's riding real good at the meet. And I think this horse gets it done at a little bit of a short price at 4-1, but I'll take $10 winners all day. So in the 9th race, the Here Comes the Bride. The 6 In a Hurry is my top pick with the 11 Sunset Promise. And I really didn't want to do this race, but I have to do this race because it's the 3-year-old prep, the Fountain of Youth. This race draws 12 horses in it. To me, it's a one-horse race, and everybody else is running for second, and anybody can run second. I think the 5-horse, Dennis's Moment, lays right over this field for Dale Romans. This horse won the Iroquois first time going 2 turns in September at Churchill Downs. Sat out until the Breeders' Cup early in November, was a less than even money favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, just lost all chance at the beginning of the race when it stumbled out of the gate. So at 4-5, that was a real tough break for people that use this horse big time. This is his first race since. Every work you look at for the last 5 works is better than the other, so Dale Romans has the screws tight on this horse tomorrow, and I think this is just going to be a walk in a park for him, unless he stumbles out of the gate again, which you never know. And after that, any one of the other 11 horses can run second. I'm just going to go with one of them, the 7-horse Country Grammar, trained by Chad Brown. This horse hasn't run since early November at Aqueduct, going 1 1/8. Sat on the pace, a very slow pace, and one going away by 3. They went 116 for 3/4 that day. That's walking backwards. But this horse is eligible to improve. It's Chad Brown. He's 1 going 2 turns, and Castellano picks up the mount. So 3 nice things there. Just average works at Payson Park, but this horse, all I want him to do is run second for me. So Dennis is the Moment, I think, should win the Fountain of Youth very easily. I'm going to use the 7 underneath, but you could put all the numbers in a hat and pick one out for second because they're all the same type of horse, the ones that are going to get beat.
All right. Well, what are you going to do with your extra day this month?
What extra day? It's Sadie Hawkins Day?
Tomorrow, the 29th.
Sadie Hawkins Day?
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Nothing. We're going to go to the track.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. My high school is playing for a championship, the girls' team, so I'm going to watch them play at night, but other than that, it's status quo. I intend on sleeping in tomorrow morning.
All right, I'll check.
Hey, you know what? Next week the clocks move back. We'll be in the dark again.
That's exactly right. But well, hey, but at least later in the day it'll be light.
Who cares? I want it light when I wake up.
All right, I'll speak to you on Monday.
Have a great day, guys.
Take
Have a good
care.
Weekend.
You too. Mike Causey with a check on sports this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.